Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles,
we always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com.
It's always a delight to be able to welcome back our next guest because he's proven to be, over the last few months, not only a Renaissance man, a Shakespearean scholar, an awesome individual, and generally one of California's finest. And of course, it's Armin Shimerman. Welcome back, Armin. How are you?
I'm very fine. Nice to be here. Thank you for the introduction.
Always a delight to have you on the program. And I know that our next guest is super, super excited to use the vernacular to actually be able to connect with the good self. Because if memory serves, Steve Dickinson, co-creator of Sci-Fi Scarborough, Star Trek Deep Space Nine is actually your all-time favorite Star Trek incarnation. Is that not true?
Absolutely. It's my number one. I'm not just saying that because I'm into it.
But sure, you're saying it right now.
Yeah, but I'm saying it on record as well because I've watched it so many times. I've watched them all an equal amount of times, but I think Deep Space Nine is the only one I look forward to watching again all the way through, and I'm just hooked completely by the whole story arc that runs from episode one right up to What We Leave Behind. I absolutely adore it. All the characters, the writing, everything. There's nothing wrong with that show. There's not a weak character, and there's not an annoying character either, which there normally is someone that annoys me in a show.
And you wouldn't call
even
my
Zek's voice
slightly annoying, Steve?
We've just lost you there momentarily, Steve. I think it was just a case of Armin was inquiring as to whether you might have found Quark just a wee bit annoying. I mean, what's not to love about Quark, really?
Quark and his multi-led relationships with everyone, you know, from his brother, from Rom up to Odo, you know, and Garak, you know. I mean, just you look forward to those episodes where they're just sparring off each other. Absolutely fantastic TV, and I absolutely love it. So well done, and thank you.
Thank you. That's very kind. It's a great review. Thank you, Steve.
Well, all I can say is wait until he starts reading Illyria. It's a whole new world and another zone, which we'll talk about. But it's also fair to say, Steve, you're introducing your children to Star Trek as well, and you've done that. So it's nice to see that the next generation is also being introduced and weaned on the Roddenberry teat. I'm not sure that it's something to do with respect to Scarborough, but Steve seems to be having a little bit of challenge. Maybe it's because he's got a Star Wars poster in the background there. We'll just have to wait and see.
Probably a conflict going on.
Sorry. That's better. We're sort of having some signal problems. It could be the said children hogging the Wi-Fi because George, the eldest, is downloading Star Trek Online at the moment on the PlayStation. And he's nearly finished, but he'll be hogging the bandwidth. That's the problem. So, we're going to have to just see if this goes well. If not, I might have to move near the router.
These are challenges that back in the 20th century, Armin, hogging the router would have been seen as a euphemism at best, really. And look at it now. Unbelievable. So,
And it is unbelievable that Steve is having problems closer to you, whereas I am on the other side of the world, and I seem to be doing all right.
It's California for you. We obviously in regular, we've been in regular contact with our colleagues in the States about the situation vis-a-vis the pandemic and so on. It's fair to say that the phrase that seems to be most frequently used is confused. What is the situation in California at present, Armin?
It is a little confusing. I don't understand why 30% of our population has refused to take the vaccines, which is extremely confusing. But because the virus seems to be on the rise again, we're getting conflicting signals from our federal government, our local government, our state government about what exactly we should do. I know for me personally, I follow the strictest rules. I wear a mask when I go out. I will be actually going to a convention in about a week, where I'll be wearing two masks. I'll have my regular mask and then I'll have a shield on top of that. But we hope that this fall and winter are better situations than they were last year.
I think that's a genuine line of that, because Steve, as we know from your work with Sci-Fi Scarborough, this is a line which first appeals to me, Armin. It was a fellow mutual colleague at Starburst magazine who said, "You must go to this. It says, we do like to geek beside the seaside." I thought, okay, that sounds interesting. So I thought I'll do a report on that.
And yeah, it is quite a... that. I will use that. Thank you, Alex.
It's extraordinary, and it does sort of continue up, but it does mean, Steve, that by the time you return in 2022, it'll be 3 years without a live in-person convention.
Yeah, three whole calendar years, which is way too long to go without something that you had for, what was it, 6 or 7 consecutive years, you know, and everyone looked forward to it, and you'd spend like your whole year organizing it and making it as amazing as we could, you know, putting everything into it. And it's been a very tough time for absolutely everyone involved in any kind of entertainment, you know, in the arts. So we're just looking forward to getting back to it and planning and plotting. We've been planning and plotting all along for like, since it started, the lockdown started, we're like, right, let's try and crunch this and make an event where people can come back to and go, wow.
And yet I may say, though, Larry Nemechek, fine. Garrett Wong, fine. Excellent from that point of view. But a big lacunae in terms of omissions from the guest list surely has to be Armin Shimerman. I mean, I'm astounded. Have you not put out the requests as yet?
We actually met. I think it was Sheffield going back to, could have been 2013 or 2014, just before we did our first event. You were at Sheffield Comic Con, the Showmasters event. We came and had a quick chat. I had a friend, one of the other organisers with me, Chris Taylor, and he found you first, and then we had a quick chat. But this is one of those things. We don't have an enormous budget. You know, we really struggle. I mean, I'm not saying you're expensive.
Armin's worth every penny.
I know that, but we do run on a really tight budget because it's obviously a fan-run event, you know, and we don't have any backers as yet, but that might change, I'm hoping, in the next few weeks.
I think it's fair to say it's small but perfectly formed, much like a Pamela Sue Mantoon is, which is fantastic. Small but perfectly formed. Pamela, welcome back. I see you're now back in New York after your time in upstate New York. You're now back in the city of New York, which is good to see. So we've just been sharing with Armin there how he's confused about how 30% of the United States is refusing to have a vaccine. Are you equally confused on the East Coast? And you need to unmute yourself, Pamela. Otherwise, I'll just have to lip read. I know it's a tough call, but what the hey?
Berries. They're in my computer again. Yeah, you know, I think the three hot topics these days, as I was saying to you, Alex, the other day, and not necessarily in this order, politics, COVID, and climate change. So, yeah, we're scratching our heads because it's not, I know some anti-vaxxers and they are diehard anti-vaxxers. And I just try to avoid the conversation because their feet are dug in, whatever their beliefs are, whatever their reasons are, some are personal, some are more political. But the rest of us, it's almost like the mask wearing thing. You know, you don't wear a mask necessarily for yourself. You wear it for other people, you know.
That's correct.
If everybody is vaccinated, or at least 75%, which, you know, I mean, you probably follow this because I see you hail from New Jersey. So you probably, I'm not sure exactly where you're located because I just tuned in, but being a Northeasterner, you probably stay up on what's going on around here. I thought we were at 75%. At least that's what Cuomo said. That's what the powers that be said. Now we've backslid to 68%. How does that happen?
It depends on which part of the country you're in. I think 70% may be the New York numbers. We're closer to, I think, 67% for the national numbers. So that's, I think, the difference that you're talking about, Pamela.
Well, I think Cuomo sent out, because he sends out a weekly missive, saying that New York was 68%. So I don't know if more people have moved here that are not vaccinated, more babies have been born, but somehow the numbers have changed. And it's just semantics in a way, but the point being that we thought we were further along. And now, you know, people are asking me to play shows, and I'm not playing shows. I'm not committing to anything yet. I know Jerry, my husband, is meant to be touring with Suzanne Vega, in autumn. I guess that's still happening, but it's not what we thought it was. And in answer to your question, Alex, I feel a bit frustrated because the science shows that if you get COVID, it's a big question mark. You could actually die if you're not vaccinated and give it to others who could potentially die. If you're vaccinated, then I hope my anti-vaxxer friend doesn't listen to this because she'll be so mad at me. Then if you're not if you're vaccinated, then, you know, you might have some side effects, but you're not going to die of COVID, you know?
Right. It's a little like catching the flu if you're vaccinated. You are going to suffer if you do suffer, but you're not going to die from it. And as you said, Pamela, it's absolutely right. You're not going to pass it on to somebody else who could die from it. That is a thinking that I do not understand from any of the anti-vaxxers. I can understand where they're looking for their own benefit, but they must understand by being selfish enough to say, I come first, then the people around them are put in jeopardy. That's wrong as far as I am concerned.
And I think that they're just, I think it's like this. I think it's just not being considered. It's not that these people are evil. They're just not being broad-minded, I think, in terms of COVID coming and going. You know, I think I have some friends that just feel like it's a herd immunity thing. You know, let everyone get it and see what happens and then move on and then we've all had it, you know.
Yes, but in the meantime, while everybody is getting it, you may get it and you may die from it. And worse than all, I cannot understand the anti-vaxxers who have children, because children under 12 cannot get the vaccine, and therefore they're putting their children at great risk. And there are more and more cases, or at least stories of cases, of children getting it and suffering and passing away.
And those are hyper valid points. I mean, coming up after we've done this piece, I'm doing a feature with Bodalia, a qualified medical doctor and nightclub DJ who's actually opening up for Fatboy Slim. I know. Would you want a doctor in your operating theatre who actually mix masters and actually does all that hypertech stuff? I think it could be terrifying. But we will be sharing some of his thoughts on why actually, even in Britain, it's important amongst the young to actually ensure that vaccination is maintained. Personally, I've had my two jabs, so to speak. Both vaccines have actually worked through. The reason I actually went for that was quite simply when I'm working with young people, obviously as a university academic and so on, I don't want to run the risk of passing it on from that point of view. That's quite simply. Otherwise, what the hey, we just carry on regardless. Steve, obviously within the restaurant business, within the cafe that you run when you're not coordinating Sci-Fi Scarborough, et cetera, presumably it's a similar thing.
Absolutely, yeah. We have the same problem here. I mean, but I think there's less. I think it's something like 15% or something of the population that are looking like they don't want it. I know people that don't want to have vaccination, you know, and I know someone, and she used to work for me. I won't name names because she might watch this and chat with me, but she's had COVID twice and still refuses to get the jab. And this was just the other day because I asked her to work because I needed someone and she couldn't. And I was like, what planet are you on? What literally, you know, like what planet are you on? So hey, I know other people as well.
Cardassia, obviously.
Yeah, Cardassia or further afield, you know, somewhere in the Gamma Quadrant probably, you know. But I just think that the internet and social media are to blame, you know. And this is, it's a great tool in one hand because you can do stuff like this, you know, and a lot of other good things. But a lot of bad things have come from it, so many. And it's like Tim Berners-Lee said it himself, you know, did I do the right thing? You know, did I do the right thing inventing the internet? Because I can't get sleep at night sometimes. I don't think I did, you know, sometimes. So I that's what I blame. But as far as the cafe goes, we have to give people their personal choice now, whether they want to wear a mask or not. And that's what all I said in the social media post was, wear one, don't wear one. We love you either way. You know, it's like you're our customers, you know, and you're our lifeblood. So yeah, it's not a personal choice now. And there's a lot of people not wearing masks basically around, like acting like it's normal, you know.
You also have a personal choice, Steve, which is you can, if they're not wearing a mask, you can personally ask them to leave your restaurant if you want to do that.
Yeah, I could do that, but it's no one else is doing that in Scarborough. Everyone's giving people the choice or saying we would prefer it if you did, but if you don't, then that's your choice. But I haven't seen any, you know, instances of people being asked to leave premises, you know, etc. It's same with the pubs around here as well. You know, it's completely relaxed, you know, but of where we are and numbers in the UK, generally numbers are falling, hospitalisation numbers, deaths are falling. So And cases. So I, you know, it's...
Then again, they were in Florida, they were in California, they were in New York, they were in Australia. They're now in their fifth lockdown.
Yeah. Look at Australia, what? You thought they were done and dusted, but no.
But let me ask you, chaps, the Delta variant, is it, where is it at? I know I ended a sentence in a preposition. With the where you are, are you ahead or behind us in terms of the Delta variant swelling?
I think we're ahead as far as the thing actually working through from India onwards. But again, it's a spiral back 2 years, 2 to 3 years. This is just a fascinating world in which we've entered, very much from the science fiction leanings of all sorts of things. I'm sure if Roddenberry were alive at present, actually, what the hey, Bran and Braga are probably actually making notes of this particular moment in time and saying, ooh, that'll actually work well in terms of the post-vaccine epidemic world and so on. Pamela, I'll turn to you, good self, because you're in pole position to be inquisitor now. Throw a couple of questions out. Who would you like to speak to, Armin or Steve? You can talk about life, the universe.
Yeah, I'd love to speak to all of you. I've not met Armin before, so it's a pleasure meeting you. And my daughter, who these guys know is a young actress, was researching you, and she's very excited because you were on. I'm rubbish with a lot of these shows.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, that one. Which
Boston Legal.
Which, you know, I have no excuse at all. I should be shocked because I am slightly cultish myself. However, I never saw it. I think I saw a bit of one episode a long time ago. At one point, I didn't have a television because I felt like it would take away from my songwriting. Little did I know that it was actually the opposite. But you've done a lot of really amazing things. And my question to you originally when I was meant to be on a show with you was in regard to your character on Star Trek and how that was for you, if that was fun, what it was like, you know, getting into character and et cetera. I suppose that's my question.
Well, the second part of your question is very easy to answer. Yes, it was great fun. Although the makeup was always problematic, but the makeup was a little like being at a party and wearing a lampshade on your head. You could get away with murder because of the lampshade, and I could get away with murder because of the makeup. But it was great fun, and the people that I worked with were very talented, very giving, very creative, and they gave me wonderful things to do. The gamut of things that my character ran through were truly, truly amazing, and I was joyful to have done it. Of course, there were some days that were long, tedious, boring, but for the most part, the work that I did and the relationships that I made on the show were stupendous, and I'm sure you have the same thing in your field of work as well.
Well, when you know, yeah, when you do, I mean, the interesting thing is, a while back, my husband played with David Bowie, and he played for a while with him. He toured with them, and I sort of got invited into the fold via him, and he had never done anything on that level, and I had never really been around anything on that level. And it was interesting, everyone from the crew to every band member to everyone in catering to anyone that was involved in the recording process, in the touring on any level, everyone was fantastic. I mean, everyone was on their best behavior because it was David Bowie, but at the same time, it was just all on such a high level. And when I say high level, I mean like spiritually high level. All the people involved were such good people, such aware people, kind, considerate, talented, evolved. And when you get in an environment of something on such a high level, even just as a fly on the wall, even to be around it, you understand why people are successful. You wonder, you know, you understand, I think, the elements involved in achieving. And you see that everyone involved in the entire operation is working from a certain ethos that is something that is something that would be a fantastic thing to aspire to, because it would have a richer life that way.
In my field anyway, let me tell you, we have an old adage, everything comes from number one on the call sheet. So, which is what you just described about David Bowie. When the person who at the very top is kind, considerate, wanting the best out of his compatriots, and he or she asks for that, then it drifts down. And so that is what you experienced there, and that certainly is what I experienced on Deep Space Only.
And then I think after it transformed you, correct? Because then from then on, and I've seen this with Jerry, you're looked at in a certain way, you're respected in a certain way, and maybe sort of it, you feel, well, I was always this person, and now why am I could be considered in this way, whereas before maybe I wasn't quite. But the truth is that it is, it's a badge. You're wearing a certain badge because you've achieved something, and there's a reason you've achieved it. There's a reason you're in the room. And so it changes. And it was, I don't know, perhaps that was your experience. It changes your life forevermore once you've had that experience.
It does indeed. It does change your life forever. I'm grateful for that change. And I sometimes ponder what would have happened if I hadn't had that opportunity. My life certainly would be enormously different. I certainly wouldn't be here with you and Alex. And Steve?
Not necessarily, Armin. I think in one reality, you could actually be on stage with Bruce Springsteen, two Jersey boys together. I mean, surely that could be happening.
We grew up no more than about 15 miles apart, and we're about the same age. I often think, did we face each other at football games in each other's high school bands?
Are you from Asbury, that area?
Very close to Asbury Park, yes. A little bit for, he's from Asbury Park. I'm from, as I say, about 15 miles away. A town called Lakewood, New Jersey.
It's so beautiful there. It's and I mean, Asbury's gone through such a transformation.
Absolutely. When I see pictures of the boardwalk that I used to walk, that was rather tatty when I was there, and is now quite spectacular, I'm truly impressed. And they have gone through a lot. I mean, they went through the Hurricane Sandy as well, so they've had a great renovation, a great renaissance as well.
Now, are you, if you don't mind me asking, are you on the West Coast now, or are you outside?
I am 3 hours later than you are, or earlier than you are, and God knows how many hours in front of Alex and Steve. I moved here for the work, never intended to be here permanently, but, you know, after God knows how many years, here I am in a house that I've been living in for about 27 years, so.
It's only 8 hours between Los Angeles and Scarborough and Lincoln and Teesside. It's a mere snip in the cosmic ocean, really. I mean, Steve, what Armin was describing there in terms of obviously going through a renaissance, et cetera, what Pamela's been saying, et cetera, sounds a bit like Scarborough, really. That just needs a lick of paint to actually sort of really perk it up, no end.
It's really strange. Scarborough's, it's actually the first resort that was ever created, Seaside Resort in the UK. It's actually labelled that the first resort, and it was a spa town. Obviously, where we have Sci-Fi Scarborough is at Scarborough Spa, the site of the original spa. Very historic building, quarter of a mile long. It's had loads of add-ons over the years, but it's mainly Victorian, and it's absolutely stunning and beautiful. And Scarborough recently has been getting a lot of attention from, like, BBC News, like the national news and local news have been here just filming constantly and doing live broadcasts, and like someone's trying to big Scarborough. Obviously people can't go abroad this year, really. It's difficult, and we are even bothering. We're going to Wales, you know. It's much easier to drive to Wales, and Scarborough really seems to be on the up, you know. It's very busy. We're very busy at the cafe, incredibly busy, a lot busier than normal during the summer. So yeah, it's Scarborough deserves it, and it is a beautiful place with two bays and a lot of gorgeous views, and you're like 10 minutes from the North Yorkshire Moors, you know. I mean, it's got everything going for it. It's got a castle. Unfortunately, we've got a council, and we've had a council in situ for quite some time, for about 50, 60 years, that have just demolished things and not built anything in its place apart from a white elephant or a cash cow, you know. So they don't tend to do a lot of good in the town. They've destroyed a lot of the theatres and stuff, you know, two main theatres. They've knocked them down, you know, and not replaced them. And it's shocking, really. But we have just got the news that Scarborough Council is being devolved and absorbed into North Yorkshire County Council. So hopefully that'll be a good thing. I can't imagine it being anything but, to be honest, because we've had such a bad time of it. You know, I'm 51. I've watched so much of this town be demolished, you know. The places I used to go when I was a kid, you know, and watch comedians and bands and stuff like that, you know. But it's so, hopefully we've turned a corner and we're on the up, you know. And you've got to stay positive, you know, especially when you live here and run a business here and run an event, you know. You want people to come to Scarborough. I'm always telling people what a great place it is, and it is. It's just the people that are in charge are not. So hopefully that'll change, and we can get a cinema.
Steve, local cinema politicians being like not necessarily kosher.
Yeah, well, you should get on the council, Steve.
You're about the 10th person to say that to me, and I'm like, I don't want to. Apparently, if you go into the council, you get infected by them. They're a bit like the Borg. They'll infect you and just assimilate you into their collective, and you become like them, taking brown envelopes in the car park, and it's like, I just want them all out, you know.
Yes, but Steve, there's, you could be a virus and affect them so that they turn better.
I could be the nanoprobes, couldn't I? Yeah. Seven of nine. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Being an Elizabethan scholar or fan anyway.
You hold Shakespeare in your palms, Armin. Let's face it. That's the reason for that shot there. You're holding Shakespeare's legacy in your palm.
I wish people could see that. Yes, thank you very much. So tell me about Scarborough Fair. What is that?
That is obviously a very famous song. And I think
no fair at all. There must have been a fair. Really? There must have been.
No, this is the strange thing that they're like, people have arguments about this and discuss this. And obviously, if I share this onto the Sci-Fi Scarborough group later on, afterwards, and someone will probably correct me on it, but I'm assuming it's something to do with going right back to when it was a fishing village and they'd have local festivals and stuff for produce. That's what I'm assuming, and music and stuff like that, sort of medieval kind of stuff.
Are you saying there are no past the sage Rosemarian time to be found in Scarborough?
No, they don't. The council don't run an event called Scarborough Fair. They call it things like Sea Fest and things like that, you know, instead of...
Yeah, that wouldn't have rhymed with Simon and Garfunkel. Are you going to Sea Fest? It doesn't even... I mean, you know, no. Pamela's the musician. She wouldn't... You know, are you going to Sea Fest? Exactly.
Yeah, well, we would have been, because it was supposed to be 2 weeks ago, but the council cancelled it because of coronavirus, even though all the restrictions have been lifted. It's an outdoor event. You know, go figure, you know. I mean, I had a pop at them on Twitter and they replied, and I just told them they were lame and pathetic, really. And this is just them all over, you know. I hope they don't watch this because they'll shut me down. I don't care anymore.
So there was no fair. There was no Scarborough Fair.
Probably back in the day. And obviously, that's a famous folk song that I think obviously was covered by Simon and Garfunkel, wasn't it? And made it, that made it really...
Yes,
you know,
I mean, they got it from somewhere, from a folk song. That's why I'm thinking oftentimes folk songs have a kernel of truth to them. And that's why I'm thinking there must have been a fair, but you're telling me there wasn't. Okay.
No, probably a long time ago, but we haven't had anything like that for ages. You know, they're like, they just don't bother doing things anymore. You know, it's too much work for them to do a Scarborough Fair. So it's just an obvious thing to do, you know. So,
Steve, having actually advertised Scarborough Borough Council to such an extent, I'm sure that their PR agencies will be actually jumping over joy with respect to the whole thing. I will say, actually, Scarborough did give birth to Alan Ayckbourn, amongst other things, in terms of the theatrical world. There are lots of sort of other key folk that actually come from Scarborough. So it's still got a pleasure. And let's face it, Steve, pre-pandemic, I used to do a location report from your event on a regular basis and continue to big it up. So, you know, we'll work it on that sort of line of things. Steve, any questions you'd like to put to Armin or Pamela?
I actually have questions for Armin. I've got one for myself, and I've got two from a group called, I mentioned them earlier, Agents of Sci-Fi Scarborough. It's a few hundred people who go to Sci-Fi Scarborough, mainly live in Scarborough, and we all chat on there about it. It's on Facebook. You can join it if you want. It's quite funny sometimes. But my question is about, obviously it's about Deep Space Nine, and there was a rumor flying around a while back that there was potentially another series being made, like maybe a mini series to try and wrap things up and maybe bring Sisko back from the wormhole. You know, is there any truth to that? And would you like to do it if the opportunity occurs?
Let me ask you the first one. Most definitely, there is no truth to that rumor. None, and I'm not being coy. There's no truth to that rumor. The closest thing we can get to that is the documentary that Ira Behr made several years ago, where he hypothetically put together an eighth season. So, but there's no truth to that whatsoever. Would I like to do it if it was true? Yes, but I'm quite sure, all of us who were on the show knew from the day that when the show ended, there would be no more episodes of Deep Space Nine or movies or anything like that. We just knew that. And so far, that's held true.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for the answer. That's not what I wanted. But
that scotch that rumor then, Steve.
Okay. I've got a question from Jay Glenn from the Agents Group. How do you feel about the fact that you and Aaron Eisenberg, bless him, fantastic lad, you transformed the Ferengi from comic relief to an important and serious part of Star Trek folklore?
Yes, and I would include two others as well. Well, three others, actually. Max Gdenchek, Cecily Adams, and Jeff Combs. So I had an agenda, Steve. I had created the Ferengi on Next Generation and was destitute and totally embarrassed by what I did on Next Generation. The Ferengi were never meant to be comic characters in Roddenberry's mind, and I screwed it up for Roddenberry. So it was my intention when I became a Ferengi on Deep Space Nine that I would try to make it up to the race, to the Ferengi race, and try to be as three-dimensional as I possibly could with the character. And the others joined me in that. Certainly Aaron was an incredible three-dimensional character. And as I said about the others, they too were that. And what they were told when they got the jobs was that they were given an episode that I was in as a Ferengi. And they said, that's what a Ferengi should be. That's what you should aim for. And so we were all trying to make this race a little bit better. Sort of, if I may make the analogy, what Next Generation did with the Klingons. On the original show, the Klingons were really rather one-dimensional, two-dimensional. And Michael Dorn and the others on Next Generation made it into a three-dimensional race. And that's what I tried to do with the Ferengi.
Right, brilliant. Thank you. I love that. That's great. Jill will love that answer, you know, because we're all like huge fans, you know, so we've been talking about it privately on Messenger, you know. Last week they were like, what happened? I went, I don't know, but it's happening. It's going to happen next week. So great. He's got his answer.
Steve, life on the Midweek Drive, it's like a whole new experience, really. Pamela will share with this, and Armin as well, as regular Midweek driver. So you just never know what's happening around the corner. That's part of the fun.
It's true. It's true. I've got one more little question from Paul Spencer. Paul says, how about the fact there is a Quark's bar, possibly franchised, on Stardust City, Free Cloud, in Star Trek Picard? Also, and do you have any thoughts about this, e.g., again, possible future, or do they owe you a ton of latinum for that? You know, they must do, surely.
You sort of broke up a little, but I think I got the gist of your question. I am delighted to find out that there's a Quark's bar appearing on the show Star Trek Picard. I'm glad that the life of my character continues, even though I'm not part of it. So that is delightful to me. And I don't think I heard the rest of the question.
Okay, it was just about any thoughts about it, which you're obviously really pleased about, which is great. But I mean, you're not going to tell us anyway, but do you think there could be any possible future involvement of Quark appearing maybe elsewhere?
Never preempt the answer, Steve. Never preempt the answer. Who knows what could happen? There are NDAs to be had here. Unbelievable.
I'm not going to tell them.
So far, the good people on Picard have not contacted me about anything. So I don't think that's in the near future anyway. As far as the other incarnations of Star Trek, there's always a possibility.
Always, that'd be great.
There are always possibilities, as the great Spock once said, basically, as uttered by William Shatner, of course, in the Star Trek movie series. There are always possibilities, and the greater part of me has been left behind on the planet Genesis. Let's not go there. We could actually start quoting Star Trek, doing all sorts of things. And, you know, it is the Shakespeare of modern times. What the hey? Pamela, any closing thoughts from yourself?
Closing thoughts. Oh, goodness. Sorry. No, I was just interrupted because my computer died because I did not charge it before, after I came. You know, the transition of upstate, downstate might as well be another planet. let's say, oh, okay. Well, so Steve and Armin, do you have any closing
things you'd like to say before we leave the Zoomer?
Circling back to the beginning of our conversation, I would ask everyone to please be careful while COVID is going on. Please wear your masks. Please socially distance. Please be aware that your choices affect other people's choices. And let's try to do our best globally to make this miasma go away.
Hear, hear. Absolutely.
I echo thoughts as well. Absolutely. You're quite right, Armin. Everyone should pick up that mantle. I do actually have a question for Pamela as a fellow musician, because I've just started playing keyboards again after a 22-year break. I've been dragged into a band and my first gig's tomorrow night, and I'm like, woo! Who would you like to work with, either or write songs with, dead or alive? Who would be the ultimate for you?
Oh my God. Well, it's probably quite impossible, but that doesn't matter. can I name more than one person?
Yes.
Okay, two people. They both happen to be British. One is Kate Bush, and the other is, the lead singer of Elbow, Gavin.
Do you know Guy Garvey?
Guy Garvey. Who I found out his brother is an actor, which is fantastic. Yeah, those are just two of them. Yeah. I would have loved to work with David Bowie, but my husband got to work with him and got to write with him. So, six degrees of separation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's incredible.
It's the way forward. It's been an awesome Zoomer. We've got there in the end. We had a few glitches with Scarborough, but then again, it's their council, so we gather. But in terms of the overall system, Armin, have you enjoyed your latest midweek drive Zoomer? Has it been good for you?
It's always good for me, and I apologize to everyone on camera for having missed the last one. A little bit of a calendar mistake.
Fine.
Armin, you were there 24 hours earlier. We missed you. It's the time zone. That's the key thing.
Hey.
It happens.
Thank you.
Can we prevail upon you? Will you return again before the summer is out?
Will I? Anytime, Alex. Anytime at all. I totally enjoy meeting people, talking to people, hearing your mellifluous tongue. It is a great pleasure, certainly. If you build it, I will come.
Field of Dreams as well. It's just one goodness thing after another, really. We'll be singing Born in the USA before too long and being Born to Run. Steve, you're actually holding something up there. Is that, would you like to just hold it up to the camera a little bit further? We just got framework.
Years ago, and it's a painting they did. I'm just trying to...
And there indeed is Quark in the centre, rightly so, position there.
I loved it. I absolutely love this painting. It's just like, it's one of my favourite things I own, and someone gave me it and I was like, wow, I'm really touched. I love it. So I'd love to get it signed by everyone, but that'll take some doing.
It will be very difficult. Some of those people, it's very hard to get their signature. Mine is very easy, but some of the others are difficult.
I'll do my best.
Meanwhile,
Renee's will be very hard to get right now.
Yeah, Renee, I mean, I actually spoke to him via email years ago about coming to Scarborough, and it's just like,
Steve, he'll be there in spirit, I'm sure. Pamela, has it been good for you?
Excellent, as always, and too short, as always, Alex.
Well, we're back again with one of your, we're back again with one of your acting recommendations next week, which is fantastic. And Steve, okay for yourself?
Lovely, thank you. Absolute pleasure. Lovely to meet you, Armin, and see you again, Pamela. Cheers, Alex.
Fantastic. Steve Dickinson from Sci-Fi Scarborough, of course, and performing live in the Scarborough area. Pamela Suman and the awesome Armin Shimerman, huge thanks. Keep on keeping on. And remember, if you haven't done so yet, get the vaccine. Honestly, it makes sense.
But it didn't taste so good in the end.
So, vaccination. Most people actually say, why not? I mean, we're vaccinated against polio, vaccinated against mumps, vaccinated about all sorts of other diseases. What is the difference in terms of getting vaccinated against, of course, the dreaded COVID? And why is it that there's a reluctance amongst certain population groups to get vaccinated? Well, the move clearly to ensure that if you wish to head off to nightclubs and so on and so forth, you will need to actually be fully vaccinated is something which is certainly in the news, and is to actually address this. We're delighted to actually welcome the awesomely talented Bodalia, doctor and DJ with us today.
Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Bodalia. How are you, first and foremost?
I'm very well, thank you very much. How are you doing?
Excellent. Now, I mean, clearly you work as a doctor in A&E and the ICU. I presume you don't combine both duties, so in the theatre you're actually dropping beats to the house music and various other sort of side of things.
You're right, actually. So, I mean, this year has been a little bit different to what I would normally do as a junior doctor. I've been redeployed into various areas, working in the emergency department and also being redeployed to the intensive care unit. And then more recently, working in the community in a GP setting.
Of course. And indeed, you've also launched NH Sessions, DJing in your scrubs in the kitchen to actually sort of help boost morale of the NHS and so on. And quite rightly, you have actually won the Points of Light Award from the Prime Minister, which is all great. But why is it, Bodalia, that we actually have this situation where there seems to be a reluctance amongst many folk, and certainly in the young, to actually say, OK, I'll get double jabbed?
There's definitely a number of reasons at play here. I think one of the key reasons is people who are younger feel that they're less likely to catch it, and if they catch it, they'll be fine. But from my experience, I can say for certain that there's that possibility that you will not be fine. I've been seeing more younger patients between the ages of 18 and 30 being admitted, seriously unwell, needing admission to the intensive care units, and the beds are filling up. So that idea of you'll be okay, well, we don't know for certain. So the only way we can, you know, protect yourself and others around you is getting double jabs. There's other reasons, such as this perceived lack of convenience. So for example, people thinking it's difficult to go and book in, but actually it is very easy. You can either call 119, visit nhs.uk online, or visit a walk-in centre or one of the pop-ups. There's a few going on in London at the moment and all over the UK. For example, Heaven Nightclub and Ministry of Sound Nightclub, where you can turn up and get your jabs. There's also uncertainties regarding sort of safety and side effects, but these vaccines have undergone exactly the same clinical trial processes, which are very rigorous, as any other medication that's out there to test its safety, effectiveness and quality. And I guess lastly on this point, one of the sort of reluctances with regards to side effects. Now, I can reassure anyone listening that if you have the vaccine, the chance of side effects aren't very high at all. And if you do get side effects, they tend to be very, very mild. You might have a slightly achy arm for a couple of days, headaches, body aches, you might feel a bit under the weather. But with rest and paracetamol, you should be absolutely fine. But there's also that the option that if you feel unwell at all, you can just speak to your doctor.
Now, I mean, speaking from a personal experience, I had my first jab in April, second jab in June. Didn't have any major reaction, thank the Lord. A slight soreness, as you mentioned, covered with respect to the paracetamol and so on. The reason I took that decision was based on the scientific evidence. We weigh the percentages, and obviously being an academic, encountering obviously a lot of students, young folk, etc., I felt it's obviously right to ensure that one is double jabbed at that particular instance. Having said that, it's fair to say social media, on the other hand, has been a nightmare in producing an alternative narrative for these kind of things. And do you have any sort of response to the numerous sort of channels that have sort of proliferated, whether it be YouTube or indeed other forms of online sort of areas that quite bluntly have been putting out a message which understandably have got an awful lot of young people quite worried?
Exactly. There is a lot of misinformation out there. So I mean, the key points from this are you must use trusted sources of information. Number one would be the NHS website. Don't always believe what you read on social media. You can also speak to your doctor, speak to a healthcare professional, because they know what the latest evidence is. They know what the guidelines are. The other thing you can do is, you know, speak to your friends and family about their personal experiences of what it was like having the jab and actually how it was okay. I think those are the key things to do. Always use trusted source of information and don't believe what you read online.
The nightclub industry, including Ministry of Sound, of course, and indeed London Superclub Heaven, are encouraging all adults to get their first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine now, with a follow-up dose, obviously, after 8 weeks. It is important to actually have both of those. I mean, it's worthwhile noting that you do need to have both doses, really, as opposed to just the one.
Exactly. I mean, only 20% of 18 to 24-year-olds have actually had both jabs, and this is far too low. We need to have both jabs to make sure you're given maximum protection. By having both jabs, we have about over 90% protection from the Delta variant, which is actually the dominant variant at the moment. So what this would mean by having the jabs is you're less likely to catch COVID. If you were to catch it, the severity of your symptoms would be less, therefore meaning the chance of being admitted to hospital and dying would be less, and also less likely to spread it. So you're protecting yourself, also protecting the others around you.
And allowing for the fact that clearly September, October time, it's the start of the university academic year. Now, I appreciate there are many students probably listening to this who might still think, I really cannot abide nightclubs. I certainly won't be going there. But there are lots of others who will be intending to go there. And it's important to acknowledge that from that point of view as well, as well as obviously the other young people they're likely to be engaged with when they get together on campus, if they don't wish to be locked in as the Manchester University souls were, that something like this can be really helpful and useful.
Definitely. That protection will protect you, obviously, in club situations, but also in other areas where you're congregating. You'll be in libraries, you'll be at other social events. Freshers Week, for example, thousands of students in small spaces. Now, to go with this, at the end of September, young people, I mean, all people are going to have to show proof of having had the jabs on the NHS COVID pass to be able to enter venues such as nightclubs. So now is a good time to book in for your first vaccine. If you've had your first one, fantastic. Make sure you book in for your second one so that by the end of September, when this comes into place, you're able to prove that you've had the vaccinations.
And the likelihood of booster jabs, which obviously sort of seems to be emerging as a likely sort of thing that we probably will need to actually look for booster jabs in the near future. Any thoughts on that?
I think it's a real possibility, actually. We're still learning. We're getting new mutations, new variants of coronavirus. Ultimately, this is a virus which society needs to learn to live with. But by living with it, we need to do what we can to protect ourselves and everyone around us.
Yeah, you see, I do think there's got to be a line somewhere in a nightclub world for DJ Corona and his new mutations, which I think can be quite interesting from that point of view. But maybe that's just another line. Embrace the whole thing, but get your double jabs. That's the important message. Where would you suggest people should actually go to Bodalia to find out further details? Would it be the NHS Authentic website?
Definitely. Use the NHS website as your first stop for trusted information. And if you've got any other further concerns, speak to your doctor.
And I was tempted to say praise him, sort of fat boy slim sort of notion from that point of view. But in terms of other sort of side of things, when can people next see your good self actually performing in the live environment, Bodalia?
Well, next up, I've got, I'm supporting Example on his UK headline show next Saturday at Chelmsford Racecourse. And then following that, a big one that I'm excited about, I'll be supporting Fatboy Slim on his UK tour in November.
You will be able to praise him. Sorry, it's a different line entirely. In fact, almost a kind of 20th century kind of reference there, which you're far too young to actually sort of connect with. So there it goes. For the moment, Bodalia, doctor and DJ, of course, and founder of NHS Sessions. Huge thanks. Keep on keeping on. And say keep on spinning the records, but that's probably far too traditional sort of notion on the whole thing. Just keep on keeping on.
Sounds good. And that sounds cool. I'll keep spinning the records. Thank you for having me.
DJ was like kicking off, I don't know. what he was doing, but it was sick, man. Like, he was like hands in the air. And then this cat walked in, you know, not like a cat, like a feline cat, like a real, like, you know what I'm saying, dog, like cats and dogs. It was raining. It wasn't raining, we were raving. And I don't know whether he was really saying it. All he kept saying was eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat,
eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
Suddenly I think I'm telling a story, but I'm not. I'm just dancing. I'm just dancing. I'm just dancing. I'm just sleeping. I'm just raving. I'm just repeating. And on, and on, and on, and on. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
Repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
Eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
Eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat.
Eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat, eat, sleep, rave, repeat.